Hi there, and welcome to the first podcast by the Artisan Rogue, me, Mario Mora. Today I want to talk to you about a show that just happened this past weekend here in Kansas City, Maker Faire 2015. Now let me tell you, I've never been so much on the fence about doing shows. As a comic artist, as an illustrator, a traveling artist in some ways, I've done a lot of different shows. And you're going to have good and you're going to have bad. This is one that's here in my hometown, Kansas City. I'll do anything I possibly can to support any show in the area and do everything I can to promote them. This is a case where I feel a little bit let down, actually quite a bit let down by what happened. You see, the problem is that Maker Faire in general is a fantastic idea. It's a fantastic, fantastic idea. You're bringing together and calling a bunch of people into an area that may not normally cross paths. And I'm talking about this year in particular. As you can see from the web update, there were medieval reenactors, car enthusiasts, inventors, model makers, Lego aficionados, quilters. The people across from where I was were beekeepers. I mean, you just had a whole gamut, a whole wide spectrum of different sorts of hobbies and interests and eclectic sort of jobs and livelihoods that came together in this wonderful maelstrom. But a maelstrom it was. You see, the problem is that when you get that many people together, and when you get, and I'm talking not only the vendors, but in what seemed like an incredibly large crowd to me, you're going to have problems logistically. I don't even know where to begin with this, but I'll try and make this short. Essentially, there was no real organization or knowledge base that any one of us could really rely on, and unless you'd done the show prior, you were kind of left hanging out in the dark. Now, don't get me wrong. That's going to happen with any kind of large show, and this is only the fifth year this show's been going on. But again, I must stress, that's still 5 years. If you haven't learned something from the first four go-arounds, then what are you doing? How does it start to spiral out of control like it did this way? And what I mean by that is, if you walked into Union Station, multitudes of people hanging about trying to cram into these other areas, there were parts of Union Station I couldn't even get to simply because of the fact that so many people were waiting, mulling about, taking photos. And it was very similar to what might I imagine happen at any of the larger conventions. I know that that happens at Planet Comic Con, but that's only from the initial swell. Thankfully, Planet Comic Con is one of the better run shows. Chris Jackson does an incredible job with it. And I'm not just saying that because I do the show. I've seen this grow over the last few years. And he goes out of his way. If something's wrong, he'll absolutely remedy that factor the next year. So I tend to hold a lot of the shows I go to a higher regard, and that maybe they'll learn and they'll facilitate and grow from there. In this case, that was not the point, and I couldn't help but feel that for all the pageantry and coolness of the show, there was a lot lacking in the terms of even getting any information on why in the world the area that I was in had a massive pavilion tent, 40 feet wide by easily over 100 feet long, that was butted up against another one. At the very least, it was a fire hazard. You see, because the two lines of vendors in the center didn't really have anywhere to sell their wares. I mean, they were butted right up against each other. If you look at the photos on the site, you can kind of see some of that. What was really bad about that was that we were all promised 10-foot spaces. But if you only have a 40-foot wide tent and you've now got to make a makeshift line, right, a lane, a walking lane for traffic down the center, you're essentially eating between 5 to 7 feet of that for people to walk through with baby carriages, people walking side by side, people of all kinds of sizes. Maybe they got, you know, a hover around. I don't know. The point is that there was a lot of concern on my part that I had paid for a full booth, and when it came down to it, I didn't even have a 10-foot space. I had this little allocated area of a 10-foot space, and quite frankly, I probably could have, seeing as how the other side of the booth was actually facing toward the other vendors with a normal, natural other walkway that was about 20 feet wide. I certainly could have left my tent that way, but, you know, who wants to be a jerk like that? At any rate, that's just a real quick synopsis and rant about this sort of show. I hope the people from Maker Faire get their act together and that they can pull this together, because it was such a wonderful synergy of people that had shown up this year, from the attendees all the way to the people manning the booths and being part of the show, that it would be a real shame if somebody was driven away because of these sort of things. And I'm not driven away by that. This is my first year doing it. I certainly try to give every show 2 to 3 times before I'll ever give up on it. There's some exceptions to that, and I'm certainly going to cover those in future podcasts as I talk about shows and that sort of thing. And I don't do this to publicly shame anybody. I don't do anything like that. I'm doing it because it was a matter-of-fact situation, and I know for a fact many other vendors who even got their surveys today, and thankfully, many kudos to Maker Faire for this, for providing us very detailed surveys that we could resubmit back to you with any and all complaints. And I'm hoping that that's not going to fall on deaf ears. So, I'll go ahead and keep this short. Thank you for listening. This is just the first sort of podcast out. There's going to be a lot of other things I'm going to try with this. And I guess I'll sign off now, and we'll see you next time. Thank you so much for listening.